Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to The Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
Okay, we are back on The Andy Finn Show. And Danny, on this date, June 15th, in 1911, the Computing Tabulating Recording Company was incorporated in New York State. It was later renamed International Business Machines, now shortened officially to IBM. It's no longer about machines. 1911 is when IBM got its start. Of course, they did adding machines and things like that for many years until the computer came along. And they almost didn't see the computer revolution coming. They said the head of IBM, Thomas Watson, thought that the world market for computers, this is in the late 40s, I think it was 1949, he said that the world market for computers was maybe 5 computers. Of course, back then, computers filled whole warehouses, and he couldn't imagine their applications because he didn't understand they'd get smaller and more powerful very quickly. And that's just the way it is with technology. We tend not to see things coming, just like Ann Coulter doesn't see things coming. So she went on... I'm sorry, when we left, what I said was that she was arguing that all their pseudoscience, meaning liberal pseudoscience, supports an alternative religion that says we're an insignificant part of nature. Well, now, she doesn't really explain her ideas in detail. She moves on from there, but I would say when we say a part of nature, if you say a part of an earth, no, actually liberals wouldn't say we're an insignificant part of earth, right? Because we would say... Humans can affect global warming. Humans can affect the environment. We know in the nuclear age, we can now destroy the world, things like that. We can destroy much larger sections than we used to be able to. So that's one of the problems with terrorism is we've got a very low-level society or low level of thinking in terrorists that is a very basic duality, good versus bad, right versus wrong kind of thinking without an understanding of the other side's point of view. And then you put in their hands very advanced technology and you got a problem because they're likely to use it. And so as far as Earth goes, liberals wouldn't say that we're an insignificant part of nature. If you're talking about the whole universe, yeah, when you talk about 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in the average galaxy, and we're on one planet around one of those stars, I'd say that makes us pretty insignificant. What I don't understand is how that puts us somehow at odds with a Christian view of the world that says that the universe and the power of God is awesome. To me, the size of the universe is what has me in awe of the universe and of God and why I see humans as powerless at one level. Powerless in the face of that awesome power. And yet we're a part of the universe, so we plug into a part of that power. She goes on to say, we say humans are in God's image. I don't know if we must be conservatives because she's arguing against liberals. So conservatives say humans are in God's image. They say, liberals say, we are no different morally from the apes. No, they liberals don't say that. What, back to Darwin, the problem with what Darwin uncovered was that basically he uncovered the myth that God created man one day and in a wholly separate way than he created the animals, right? The animals were created one day, then the next day he created man from in his image and likeness. It turns out, because of the evolution of the species, that man and the apes evolved from a common ancestor. And that's pretty well established. Now, she talks about pseudoscience. I'm not sure if she's saying she doesn't believe in evolution. I'd be shocked if someone with an Ivy League education and a law degree actually rejects evolution, since the data is overwhelming. I mean, there's just no debate about it. It'd be like saying the world is flat. You know, there's just no debate anymore about the world being flat, although there was for a long time. And there was a debate for a long time about whether or not the Earth was the center of the universe. Turns out it's not. But the Catholic Church thought it was, and they pressured both Copernicus and Galileo to reverse their views 400 years ago. And this brings me back to the Enlightenment and the basic dichotomy between liberalism with a capital L, generic liberalism, and religion. All right. If you look at the history of Western thought, I mean, we could go back to the Greeks and devoid of a monotheistic God, right? The Greeks had dozens of gods. So leaving religion out of it, the Greeks got a lot of things right about the philosophy of man, right? The basic principles, Plato and Aristotle laid out much of the philosophy that we still use today. But when you inject religion into it, when we look at religion, the Catholic Church comes along in the early centuries during the Roman Empire and comes along with a new doctrine that says you should strive for the spiritual, you should try and be Christian, you should give up mammon, you should give up money, and you should give up all of those earthly pursuits and pursue spirituality, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. You should practice the golden rule. There can be no fights in Christianity because you step back and let your neighbor pass through. You wouldn't challenge your neighbor. You wouldn't raise your sword in anger, raise your fist in anger. You certainly wouldn't ever attack your neighbor. In fact, when Jesus was attacked, he told Simon Peter to put aside his sword and let them take me away. And he repaired the ear of the centurion's servant that had been cut off by his disciple. So Christianity sets the bar really high for behavior towards other human beings. And I think Ann Coulter saying she's a Christian, and I'm not going to judge her level of Christianity, but I think she's saying she's a Christian. But in terms of the church also got some things wrong. Because of the story of Genesis, it assumed that the earth was the center of the universe. Well, Copernicus comes along, and then Galileo, and they said, you know something? You notice how that moon changes from a full moon to a new moon, and there's slivers of moon, and it's curved always until it gets to be full moon? Well, that's the earth casting a shadow. I'm sorry, that's the sun hitting part of the moon, and the rest of it's in shadow. And so it turns out that what's happening is the moon is actually orbiting around the earth, and the earth is orbiting around the sun. So the earth is not the center of the universe. It's also not flat. It's round. That's why Columbus is right, and Columbus could sail around the world, or he didn't quite make it. He only made it to, quote, India, made it to America, and named the natives here Indians. But Magellan made it around the world. And suddenly the worldview changed, and people stopped believing the church when it came to the physical world, because science had better answers. And science brought us applied science, things like engineering, and people started building better bridges and cathedrals, and we could do all kinds of things. And suddenly then we had the industrial age in the 1800s, and we built machines, and then we built cars and airplanes, and then we built computers. And everything we have today is a tribute to the Enlightenment. And not only did science and engineering progress and give us all this technology, but every field exploded, from sociology to political science, to economics. All these areas of study sprang up. And there are three great scientists or discoveries that came along that set the world on its ear, that changed things dramatically in the Enlightenment, besides the general principles of science that came about with Copernicus, Galileo, Sir Isaac Newton, all of that. And they were, in order, Darwin and the theory of evolution, because it basically said that man has a lot more in common with the animals than we think, and that's been proven in the human genome. Did you know that not only is the human DNA and genes very similar to the DNAs of other animals, not just the apes, but all mammals. There's a huge percentage. But 75% of the DNA in humans is identical to the DNA in a banana. So that life has a certain pattern. And that's additional support for evolution. So Darwin, 1849, I suppose, or 1844, I forget the exact year of the Origin of Species, but he began changing how we thought about biology and human existence, physical existence. Freud comes along in the late 1800s and wrote The Interpretation of Dreams in 1899 and invented the field of psychology. Now, he got a lot of things wrong, but he taught us that we sometimes do things not for conscious motivations, but for unconscious motivations. And the field of psychology spawned from there, and people started to understand their motivations and reflect on their behavior more and say, okay, maybe I'm projecting here. Maybe I'm insecure and I'm making this up. I'm kind of talking to you here, Anne. And then Einstein came along and turned physics on its ear and said, you know how we think what we see can be trusted, and that the Newton's laws of mechanics seem to work pretty well in the world of engineering for short distances and time frames. It turns out that that's all wrong and that time is relative. Right? And even today, now today, even a grammar school child learns that time is not a constant. We always thought it was. And that mass is not constant. And that they interact. And that if you could move something near the speed of light, time slows down to a crawl. Well, that's so counterintuitive. People, when it came out, even the scientists, the other physicists in the universe said, in the world said, that's nonsense. That's impossible. How can that be? And Einstein slowly proved it. And we're still making discoveries. Science is still making discoveries today that bear out predictions Einstein made 80, 90 years ago. So those are kind of the three great discoveries that have kind of rocked human knowledge because it totally reversed what we thought. So when Anne says that liberals have pseudoscience, I assume that she rejects much of science, including evolution. I don't know for sure. But she also went on to say, and she dabbles in spirituality here by saying that liberals say we're no different morally from the apes. No, I don't know any liberal that believes that. Because we have free will in a way that apes don't. Because we have consciousness. That is, we can reflect on our own behavior. We can think about thinking. We're different than every other animal species. And that brings responsibilities with it. So I don't know where she's coming from with that stuff. But let's go on and see. So she says, the theory of vegetarianism is that Americans consume, quote, too much, unquote, energy. It takes a lot of corn to grow and feed animals, so why don't we become a bunch of grazing? So she thinks, that's interesting, she thinks that the rationale for vegetarianism is that it takes more energy to eat animals. I'm sorry, it uses up more energy if we eat animals, and so we eat the vegetables, it uses less energy. That had never occurred to me before. I don't know any vegetarians that use that as their rationale. I wonder where she got that. I would say there are two main rationales for vegetarians. The first is health. That you'll have less waste product left in your small intestine and that stays there in your gut and may cause cancer. They're not entirely sure about that. This is meat byproducts that don't get fully digested and that stay in your body. If you eat vegetables, it's cleaner for you. It's more healthy, less likely to lead to various forms of disease in old age, such as colon cancer. But also, as I explained before, there's a principle that as we reach higher levels of moral development, we have more concern for a wider group of sentient beings in the universe. You know, when you're a little kid, you go out of your way to step on the ants on the sidewalk. Do you still step on ants on the sidewalk, Danny?
Occasionally.
Okay. Well, I don't. And you probably won't at some point either. But you don't go out of your way the way you used to, right?
Right.
To get them. Right? So as we grow older, we spare life more. We have more concern for life. And not just the life of human beings, but the life of any type of animal. Okay. Another quote. Liberals have fervently believed that humans are a blight on Earth since Malthus published his essay on population in 1798. I don't know anybody that thinks humans are a blight on Earth. I do think that it makes sense as you become more powerful. And this is really the heart of the environmental movement. As humans become more powerful and can have greater effects on the environment, the atomic bomb's a great example, so is pollution. It pays to manage what you do, because what one person does doesn't matter. But you multiply that by 300 million people, and you've got a problem in the U.S. You multiply it by 1.3 billion Chinese and 1.1 billion Indians, and you've got the problem we have in the U.S. times about seven. So that's the reason why humans have to be smart. And as our technology gets more powerful, we need to reflect on what our technology does and then take action to control what our technology does. Let me move on. She says again that humans believe that women are no different from men. I've already addressed that. Let's see. Oh, this is strange. Liberals defend unreason against reason and then call themselves rationalists. Well, she needs to give some examples. She doesn't give many examples. I mean, she does when it suits her, but I'd love an example there. They are too important to be bothered by the things that frighten middle-class people worried about the equity in their homes. Too important? I'm not sure what she's... I'm terribly worried about the equity in my home, and I'm a liberal. I don't know what she's talking about. The truly pathetic liberals are the ones who aren't rich, but ape the belief structure of fabulously wealthy Hollywood leftists anyways. I am not sure what she's talking about. If she's talking about the worship of our society for good looks and money and all of that, you can't blame Hollywood liberals for that. That structure would be in place no matter who ran Hollywood. People want what they want, and what works on TV, conservatives are as responsible for putting it on as liberals, and if you wiped out all the liberals in Hollywood, you'd still get gorgeous babes and good-looking guys in television shows and on TV specials and being our singers and our performers. That's just the way it works. And so I'm not quite sure what she's getting at there. Let's see. Are there any other points worth talking about here in this first chapter? Yes, there are. In theory... The only job requirement of a college professor is to be intelligent, provocative, and open-minded. But their reigning attribute is that they are ignorant, boring, and narrow-minded. These zealous pagans teach the official state religion of liberalism as axiomatic truth. Okay, so I'm going to need to address that, but to do that, we're going to need one more segment, Danny. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about college professors, since I are one. And I'm going to talk about what she believes about it versus the way college professors really are.